Welcome back to the Wasps Nest podcast, and we're going to jump straight back in with part two of our special interview with Kevin Colley ahead of his testimonial match this weekend. We'll dive straight back in as Kev starts to talk about returning back to the club for his second spell.
Well, after that 15-16 season at Dumbarton, your love for the club obviously shone through because you returned back to Alloa. Jack Ross was in charge at the time. Later on that season, Jim Goodwin came in. Again, it's kind of asking why did you come back? How did it come about? What was your thinking behind returning to the Rex?
So literally, we were at Dumbarton and we were in for contract talks, and I got told I was getting let go. I was like, fair enough, blah, 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 saying my goodbyes. And then literally, I think I might have texted somebody saying, I don't know who it was, but it must have been somebody at Al at the time, and said, I just get let go. And then honestly, within like an hour, Paddy phoned me, he's like, you want to come back? So if you want to come in and speak to Jack, and I literally signed like maybe 3 days later, back at Alloa, me and Homer. I remember there was a picture of me and Homer and Jack, so that would have been, I can remember a picture. It might have been Homer, a text, probably, I think it might have been him, says I've been released, and he's probably said, and then literally signed within 3 days. I was just thinking, nobody else, so I'm going to go back to Alloa. Even if it was anybody else, I would have went back if they would have came in from me or even approached me, I'd have been definitely going back.
There's a note there to remember, Kieran, that Homer's definitely a better agent than Sparky is.
Yeah, definitely.
in coming back that season, what was Jack Ross like as a gaffer?
Very good speaker. His training was very, very good. I think when we went into training, like, you were there to work and it was enjoyable. He had a presence about himself as well. As I said, like, there's certain managers I've got that about them, and you're like, I want to play for this guy. Do you know what I mean? And that's half the battle. Plus, he done a lot of good recruitment as well. So I thought, this guy, obviously, because he done well. He came in, did he come in about January time? And then he's kind of done okay, even though, like, you were gone at the time, but he came in and kind of got a kind of good feedback to the club and players enjoying themselves. And then Saf came in that summer and he recruited really well. We got off to a great start, which would have been the Betfred. I think that was just the first inception of it, the Betfred, at that time.
Yeah.
And we done really well. I think we'd done like maybe 10, 11 games unbeaten. And then obviously Jack, on the back of that, got his move to St Mirren. So it was kind of a short kind of spell with Jack Ross. But I did enjoy it, and I'm not surprised at the kind of clubs that he's got. He's a very good speaker, and he's a good coach as well. So yeah, short time with Jack, but I did enjoy my time playing under him.
Yeah, it was a very like you say, short and sweet spell. I think that run that you talk about at the start of the season, we went 10 games on a winning streak, and then we obviously went to Celtic Park and put in, you know, a remarkable performance. I think it took Celtic to the 83rd minute when James Forrest eventually broke the deadlock. That must have been a wee bit of a special night for yourself, going back to Celtic Park after all those years.
I know, it was a good day. Everybody's, my mates, like, ah, get his tickets and that. And that. What end are you going to go? Are you going to Alloa end or are you going to Celtic end? But yeah, I was up against a young Kieran Tierney as well. Which was a tough running. I can't remember. He ran right by me. He literally had a shot from nowhere. I can recall and get maybe hit the crossbar. But we were playing with confidence at the time. And as you say, we got to maybe the 80th minute, and James Forrest scored, and I think Dembele scored as well. And that was the time Celtic, I think they were invincibles that season.
It was.
And I think even Brendan Rodgers came out and gave us credit, how well we did kind of play as a team. So I don't know if that might have been Jack's last game. I'm not too sure.
I think his last game was probably my favourite away day, going back to the previous question, at Ballytown in Wales. You scored that day, we beat them 4-1.
That's right, that was, yeah, I think we went down Friday night to play an early Saturday kickoff. Yeah, that was a good trip down to Ballytown.
was it a good trip back up as well?
Yeah, I think they had a few brewskies on the bus on the way back up. I think it was like a six-hour drive down there. But yeah, that was something different. Getting out of Scotland for a change, that was playing a game. So yeah, that was a good trip.
I'll ask you about, you know, Jack's replacement, Jim Goodwin, in a wee second. But just to, you mentioned there just previously about Paddy Connolly. Now, obviously, Paddy has been there at Alloa the whole time that you've been there. You mentioned there about his kind of influence and bringing you back as well. What's Paddy like at the club? You know, he comes across, you know, he's, when you look at his career at Alloa, it's such a unique position for someone in that position, assistant manager, a coach. You know, he's taken charge of the club as a caretaker manager a couple of times as well. But it's very unique when you look across Scottish football for anyone to be there as long, to be doing those roles, to work under so many different managers. What was Paddy like?
He's a great guy. He was a great football player as well. I think he's also got a lot of people respect him. So he knows the club. It's kind of maybe that kind of connection between obviously the fans and the players to maybe a new manager coming in. But I think even like the manager do come in, like, they've always just kind of took him on. Don't know if that's part of his deal or whatever Paddy's got, do you know what I mean? But he's or he's got something on the chairman's keeping him there. But no, Paddy's a great guy, good to have around. I know he should be getting a testimony as well, to be fair. But yeah, got a lot of time for Paddy, especially bringing him to the club as well. And he stays not too far from me, so we kind of go for big pints and that. We catch up once in a while, once the season kind of finishes. So, yeah, Paddy's a good guy.
And obviously, when Jack went to St Mirren, Jim Goodwin then comes in. And I'm interested, you know, Jim Goodwin at the time, you know, in his playing career, that side of things, he was an absolute bruiser of a centre-half. You know, he comes across, certainly when you look at him in the public, as, you know, quite mild manner, quite quietly spoken, but very... You know, there's that tough Northern Irishness there that you wouldn't be able to mess with him, kind of thing. What is he like? What was he like as a manager? Obviously, he came in in the kind of player management side as well. But what was he like as a manager?
He was good. As a player, it took him, I think, when he went from the player manager to the manager, I think he did find it difficult at the time. So I think he knew himself, and he did admit it was like, it was hard for him. And then he took that step back and says, no, I'm going to do it as a manager. And he probably wanted to keep playing. But we had a great team at the time, and he just tweaked a few wee things here and there. He always kind of changed up the team, which I didn't really like, because he always kind of put me on the bench sometimes. but no, he was a great guy. His training was really good. A very competitive guy, and that you kind of seen that in his teams. And we did. He kind of recruited as well, got good players, like went into the loan market and kind of tweaked a wee things, and got like Zanata and boys like Hasty, these guys that came in and helped us out during that time. But yeah, I think that squad under Jim, that was probably one of the best squads that I kind of would have played in during my time at Alloa. That spell, I think we done really well.
You mentioned there about his training, that you enjoy training. I heard a little story from one of your former colleagues. His training, was it that good because he worked at Cadbury's at the time, and there was always a wee out-of-date boost bar for the small-sided games?
That's right. And so the winners always get a out-of-date Cadbury's bit of chocolate. Aye, because at the time, I'm sure Sharpie worked at Cadbury's and he got a job, and he kind of, there's a good few stories about that, probably Tags and Jim Goodwin both went for an interview at Cadbury's, not knowing to Tags that Jim was going to be there, and basically get a kind of heads up, like, this is what's happening, and he comes out with a quote like, oh, why don't we say this? He's like, it was a quote for Cream Eggs, and he says, oh, 15 million a go, and everybody's like, that's amazing, Jim, and everything, and Jim gets a job.
the rumours I heard at the time was, if you weren't winning the small-sided games and getting the chocolate bar, you weren't best pleased about it.
I know. But I think, to be fair, B Pat, the Kitman's taking that over now, so I think if you score, you always got a score at the weekend, you come in, you see there's like a wee box of chocolates or a wee bar of chocolates in your basket, and that's for Pat. So maybe he's taking the out-of-date Cadbury stuff now.
So obviously Jim came in halfway through the season replacing Jack Ross, and you know it was a tremendous season for the club. Unfortunately, it didn't end up in promotion, but then you look to the following season and Alloa managed to get up through the playoffs again. What, again, it's kind of similar to the first spell, and you know, who were the characters around the dressing room at that time?
Greg Spence. He's just like Sparky. But we know hair, but he's got a hair transplant now, I heard. So Spence, yeah, he's a great guy. He's been at the club about four times. He's back and forth more than me. He was a character, Spenny. I'm trying to think who else was around about that time. We had B. Callum Waters, I'm sure. Was he maybe the year before?
I think he was.
Yeah. You get Stevie Hevington. Obviously Tags, Robbo, just the usual guys, and then obviously you get the ones that come in for loan that they're just trying to suss out what they're like. We've had a few headers that have come in and gone as well, but
just on that, Kevin, what is that like when a player comes in on loan? Like, you know, how much do they kind of integrate within? Alloa have been in a fortunate position, particularly when you look back to the years we're talking about now, from then until this point. And the guys that you mentioned, that like say yourselves, your Andy Grahams, Tags, Robbo, Alloa is quite unique in that there's been a large nucleus that have stayed at the club over an extended period of time, and that's playing across different divisions as well. You know, there's not a lot of that in the lower leagues within Scotland. You typically see, you know, a large turnaround every year. I'm interested, what is that like when the lone players come into that kind of setup, that group?
Well, I think because the more experienced boys, it's probably better for the younger ones coming through, because then they've got an, a kind of experienced set team, and then they can just kind of bide their tail, gradually settle in, and then obviously you're hoping them to make an impact. So we've been in the game that long time, like just a bit of experience, just talking to them. It may have been their first time going to a full time club. Some of them are probably a wee bit apprehensive, some of them don't know what it's like. Obviously then moving to a different club as well, you don't know, and it's part time, they're not used to it, and they adapt to obviously their training during the day with their own clubs and then coming at night with us in training. But I think the majority I have came in have kind of done really well. And I think because we've got a good record of players coming in doing well, yeah, and then moving on to another team or getting a new, like moving into the first team, players will think, oh, this is a great, I've got Alloa interested in me. In the past, I know teams that players have always done well there, so it's good for the club as well, and it's good for the players because they're getting put out there and obviously ensure their talent, whereas they may have not got that obviously at their parent club.
Is there any of the lone players in particular that really stood out to you, that, you know, when they've came in and you've thought right away, I'm thinking probably more the younger ones coming in, and you've thought this guy's really going to go somewhere in the game?
Probably the first time would have been Stephen May, but I was probably roughly the same age as with him. But now, because I'm a bit older, the younger ones that have came in, let's see, Ross Stewart, he would be probably the one. He's done really, really well for himself. I think he's unfortunate he got an injury in the season there, because he was tipped to get maybe a move somewhere else, but I would say Ross Stewart's probably. I think who else maybe done well for us? Zanata done well. Thought he done really well in his spell. Probably never progressed the way he kind of liked when he left Alba, but he's another one that done really well for us. That's what I said, when Jim went into that market, he got good players for us at the right times. It helped us out and obviously took us on to the playoffs and eventually winning the playoffs that season.
You mentioned previously when we were talking there about your kind of car school from the early days. I'm interested in you in the car journeys around that time, because would it be right in say you'd be Neil Parry, Ian Flanagan?
Yeah, so the first time around it would have been me, Sparky, Craig McDowell, and Big Armand Donny. Big Armand, what a guy he was, top guy, big friendly giant. And then probably later on it would have been Flanny, Neil Parry and McDee as well. We were just, that was our car school for the south side. And then yeah, you had Andy, Tags, Stevie, Kirky. That was their kind of car school. But I was travelling in was good. Good laughs, and we'd always have like nights out and all that, so that's probably the best bit, getting in the car and heading up, finding out what's happened at the weekend and stuff.
is that when Flanagan eventually turns up to pick you up?
Flanny stays round the corner from me, so I would text him, like, say, hey, I'll get you 11:30, but I would like turn up like maybe 11:45. Because I knew he wouldn't be ready at 11:30. And then he would just come out in my car and he's eating his pre-match food. I'm literally just out the shower and everything. He was so laid back. Mostly laid back guy ever. But I was disappointed when he said he was hanging the boots up. Because he still had a lot more to give. I would say probably one of the best players I played with during my time at Arles, just technically wise. He was very good guy as well, down to earth. And he loved a chat, him and Neil Parry, oh my God. They would just talk about the Sopranos in the car all the time, talking about characters, and I would just switch off. I'd like put the headphones in. But I had two of them, two peas in a pod, day two.
That probably leads us on to two questions, because Neely texted in and he asked, what's your favourite episode of The Sopranos? You can probably quote it all without seeing an episode.
Oh my God. Big Neely, I know. He used to do all the quotes and stuff. And to be fair, I did maybe watch a few episodes and then I just fell away with it, because I was getting spoiler alerts for them every single day of the week. So what was the point of me watching it when I know how it ended?
And on that second point, I think I'm south side of Glasgow as well, so Flanny is always running past my house and he's still fit as a fiddle and he could definitely still be playing. You said that he's one of the best players that you've played with. One of the questions that came in from young Leon was, who is the best players you've played with at Alloa? I suppose Flanny definitely comes in the conversation, but there'll be a few others.
There's plenty. First time around, I thought Ryan McCorb was a really good player. I like playing with him. Homer, amazing. There's so many. Who else? Alan Troughton. Me and him kind of linked up well with each other. Kind of same thought process of both of us. So I knew where he would be without, we just knew. I enjoyed when Callum Ehrlich came in. I thought we'd done really well playing up front with each other, was good. There's so many players. Like, I couldn't really say who's the best. Do you know what I mean? There was a lot of players who brought different things. That's how I've been so fortunate. You think about it over the years, there's so many good players that have came by. And you see that now more often, that these players now play kind of part-time, and the lower leagues now are, it's very competitive, but there's a lot of great players that are kind of in the lower league these days.
I think there was another question as well, Kieran, that came in about what would Kevin's dream five-a-side Alloa team be?
Oh, that's a hard one. Because don't want to miss people out and stuff. I mean, goalie, you could say probably Bainey, do you know what I mean? He's done really well, but the same, like, Big Neely, great guy. Probably Bainey, just the way he's, the first club we won the league, that maybe just edges it for Bainey. What are we going formation-wise? Are we going...
It's your podcast, Kevin. It's your testimonial. You're in charge.
So
I'm just interested whether you put yourself in it or not.
No, I wouldn't put myself in it. let's see, five or six. So the ball's going to be on the deck anyway. So there's nobody that's going to get launched up to. So I need playmakers and boys that can handle it. So. I got to be the skip at centre half. Need him in there. I'll go one at the back, two in the middle, one up top. So I'll put Flanny in there. I'll put Trouts up front. And one more in the middle. That's tough. Probably Stevie Hevington. I put Stevie in. Need a bit of dig as well. good mix in there.
I'll not put you on the spot and upset anyone by asking who would be the five-a-side you'd want to go playing against. But I think that'd be a hell of a team. I think that'd be a team that would be on a lot of Alloa supporters' lists as well. Although I've got to say, I think the majority of the supporters would have you in their dream five-a-side team. We were talking about the spell under Jim Goodwin, obviously getting promotion out of League One and then up into the Championship and Jim's final season at the club. How big an achievement is it for Alloa maintaining their position within the Championship like they did?
It's massive, because straight away you're up against it being part time. You're going in with probably the lowest budget out of all the teams. So you're at a disadvantage already. But I think what helped also the Alloa team at that time is, as you said, the nucleus of the squad staying on. And then also you're just trying to get a few more players in to help you out in England, the loan market. That's always been the kind of model Alloa have kind of went through. And then... you know what the Championship's like? Anybody can beat anybody in that. It's just one of those roller coaster kind of seasons in the Championship. And it is just, you need to just stay in, dig in. And I think over the years, like, we definitely have punched over a weight, definitely. But that season, probably staying up in the last day again, I think we'll wait here. I think... did we just need a point? I can't remember, but obviously the results went our way, and obviously Jim kept us in the season, which is fantastic, because at the time you're playing against the big clubs, were still in there. You've got Hearts, Hibs and Dundee United, so it does bring that revenue into the club as well for the home games. But yeah, we've always competed well. I would say the majority of our time out my seat, like, we're kind of, I wouldn't say we're a Championship club, but we have been over the years, do you know what I mean? We're probably now more a League One club. It's now, we want to get ourselves back in there, because we have been, like, five or six of my seasons have been playing in the Championship for Alloa, which year, like, before I even joined Alloa, you probably not have thought Alloa would have been playing in, like, the second tier of Scottish football for a good number of years. So it's credit to, obviously, Mike and the club and getting us into that situation, and the club stable. You've seen clubs that go up and then they just plummet again, and it's hard to get back up. We've always kind of been League One Championship, always been playoffs at either end to go up or try and stay in the league. So I think that's probably... when players come to Alloa, they kind of know that they will be challenging for playoffs, so that's good for the club as well to try and attract these players.
How does the, whether it's promotion playoffs or relegation playoffs, how does the mindset change, you know, going into playoff games as opposed to the, you know, at the end of that, that kind of league season?
Well, you know what it's like. It's like, it's, obviously you've got your semi-finals, so if you can get through, if you, you could have a finish fourth, and if you're going to have a bit of momentum, then you know you've got a chance. That's just, even you've seen Thistle, it's just proven as fact. Like, if you're getting a bit of momentum, you've got a good chance. And then if you get to the final, I mean, it's, if it goes to extra time penalties, it's luck. But I would say most of the time, getting into these games, we've done, we've been playing well, and you're confident in yourself. Obviously going up, and that's, we've done that on a few occasions. But yeah, and big players need to turn up in big games and obviously big moments. So I think we've been fortunate enough that we've had a good track record in the playoffs.
Going towards that, I mean, the end of the 2018-2019 season then, it's obviously when Jim left, you then had Peter Grant coming out, I think would be the sixth manager that you'd worked under. What was Peter Grant like? How was he different to the guys that you'd worked under previously?
Peter was very, very hands on, like coaching, very methodical, the way he kind of coached on a training pitch all the time. It was, everything was coaching. Some players like that, some don't. But we had a good team at the time, so when he came in, it was probably a bit of, like, just out the blue, really. You know, it just came from nowhere, like, because I don't, he was really coaching at the time anywhere else. He might have been maybe doing something down south, I'm not too sure. But he came up, very great guy, good to talk to, loves a chat, Peter. But I enjoyed my time under him. So we went down that season as well. With the following season, we got relegated.
It's the second season. Yeah. So that period was, it's obviously it's a strange time, because he came in, you know, he was in for the 1920 season, which was stopped early, and obviously Arlo had got themselves in eighth position and survived. And then you look then to the following season, was the shortened kind of right in the middle of COVID type season. Now it's quite interesting when you look at that shortened season, when I was kind of looking through the different stats and that, from what I could see, I think you were actually Peter Grant's only ever present, I think it was a 27 game season, I think, for that shortened one, you were actually his only ever present in the league for that season. But you know, how was that for the players, that kind of tight? You know, obviously there was a lot going on in the world in terms of the pandemic and stuff like that, but what were those kind of, the end of that season getting shortened and then going into the, you know, the shorter next season, what was that like from the playing point of view?
It wasn't great, because even when we did, we obviously we had to also get tested, and then it was separate changing rooms, couldn't mix, so it was disruptive straight away. And it's obviously something that you're not used to, so it did take a while to kind of get to adapt. I'm just kind of glad that, like, we did get a chance to play as well. Because imagine we never had a chance to play at all. That would have been really, that would have been dementing that. I know it feels weird talking about COVID, but it was like, it seems like as if it was like 30 years ago. That's what it seemed, so gone now. But it probably didn't help the players, and then also on the pitch as well, it probably didn't really help everybody. I mean, obviously Peter, he said his goodbyes, and I had a lot of time for Peter, a good guy, and I wish them all the best.
I remember commentating that season, and what COVID did do was just intensify his shouts at the sideline. He was one of the more vocal managers, but having no fans in meant that you heard every single word.
I know, Peter was very passionate, loved football. Peter the Pointer, that was his nickname for it itself. He just instructed everybody away about the pitch. He's so passionate about football, and so he's played at a good level. Passed on a lot of experience as well. Obviously, younger boys that were coming through the club. But he's few boys didn't really like playing on his side because he kept shouting all the time. But that's just the way he is.
Was there ever a consideration around that sort of time, the Goodwin, Peter Grant sort of time? Was there ever a consideration that you would move away, go to somewhere else?
No, I was always happy at Alba. I kind of set my mind up like I was always going to stay. Not that, I don't know if any clubs did kind of approach me that I can recall, but I was always happy enough at my time at Alba, and so kind of just wanted to see how far I could go. And everybody always kept saying, "Oh, you're the most capped player, and you're so many off that. Do you want to try and achieve that?" And I thought, "Why not?" So, yeah, I'd never really thought that I kind of moving away. I just kind of finish my days out at Alba.
That was a question that actually came in. You've got the most Alba appearances. You're third top goal scorer in the club. I think you're approaching 100 career goals. Do those things, do they matter to you? Or is it more kind of just Saturday to Saturday? Or does the bigger picture of these accolades play a part?
Not really. Like you said, Saturday to Saturday, I would like to score more goals. Because I think over the years, I've probably not scored as much as I probably should have. Probably should have had about 100 goals at Alba. Appearances-wise, it's nice to get that recognition to be the most capped player, which is really good, because in this day and age it is very unheard of, like players stay at clubs, especially part-time level, because you know there's a lot of turnover at clubs, and it's just happy that's something to tell the grandkids probably one day.
that second season under Peter Grant, it's quite incredible when you look over your career at Alba that I'm pretty sure that is the only time at Alba you've suffered relegation. You know, you talked there about how Alba would kind of, around about Championship, League One, but since you've been there, you know, literally having that one relegation over such a long period it's quite an incredible thing that, you know, has happened. That following season, you know, the first one back into League One was obviously when Barry Ferguson came into the club. Now he came in having won the Lowland League. I think it was 2 years on the bounce, but obviously with COVID, they'd stopped the playoffs and stuff. Came in having won the Lowland League with Celtic Hearts, previously been at Clyde. What was that time period? You know, he was only there for about seven or eight months in the end. But yeah, what was that season like under Barry Ferguson?
It was a strange one because obviously he's come in with that reputation of winning the league and thought like something right. Barry Ferguson's come in, he's won leagues before. He did say we're going to go out and try and win the league and very ambitious, but it just didn't happen. It just didn't click, and it was still COVID as well. There was a lot of testing and stuff, different changing rooms, so that probably did play a part. Wasn't that connection between him and the fans, and then it kind of went ran on the pitch as well, and it's probably one of the ones that a season to just obviously forget. But he's probably looked back on it as well, probably thought maybe I could have done things differently and maybe approached things differently. But that's just, you learn from your mistakes. So, but yeah, Barry obviously left, and then Brian came in and kind of got us going a wee bit, kind of united us a bit, and we were kind of unlucky not to finish within that playoff spot as well. So, trying to just get that the good feel factor back and back to going to training and enjoying that, and that's what kind of Brian brought in when he came.
What's the training like under Brian? How hands on is he?
He's probably the same as Peter. Light coaching, everything is, it's all ball work. Because I think Brian does do a bit of coaching at the SFA as well. So he is very hands-on about where to be, what to do. He prepares, obviously, Monday to Friday for the Saturday, and everything he does, so obviously the training pitches, obviously, for the game on the Saturday as well. So there is thinking behind it all, and it's not just, oh, we're doing this for blah, blah, blah. It's because it's there to benefit us. But you can obviously, he got obviously a full season this year, and so we got to the playoffs, which was probably, you think to yourself, that's probably a good kind of estimation that we'll probably maybe finish about the playoffs. And as you say, we were kind of unlucky not to get through, but it's another step, a bit of progress, and hopefully this season we can take that wee step a bit further.
I was just going to say that was a question that came in, was the ambitions for the season ahead, and I suppose it's just continuing to build on a full season on Chipper, got into the playoffs, and just continue on that upward trajectory.
I would say so. Considering also the teams that obviously were in the league that season, there teams that are in it now, so you've got Hampton, Cove, both full time teams. I mean, there's a lot of full time clubs in League One. Still in Albion are coming up. I mean, they've won the league under Dan Young, who's been absolutely brilliant as a manager in his short time. They'll be like what we've done, try to ride on that wave, hopefully try and maybe get into there. I think we've got a chance we can get into the playoffs. So it's a very competitive league one. And I would say so, I think always the club, because we've always been in the playoffs should be the ambition. Try and get to the playoffs, see what it takes us, because it's four games, you never know. You could finish fourth and get up, is the way Queen's Park done. I think they had the most draw games that season, and then they nearly won the season there. So it just shows you, going into League One from the champion into the championship, there isn't much difference in the clubs these days. It's like a kind of level par if you're full time or not. Because Arbroath, remember that the season they went on as well, the championship's a strange league, as you know, and obviously League One, if you get the playoffs, you've got a good chance of going up.
Do you see a big difference in terms of quality or anything like that compared to, if you look at, you know, your first couple of years at the club in the old third division and second division, then a kind of spell in the middle when you came back was League One as well, sort of level, and then now League One again at this part of your career. Do you see, has there been differences over time within that kind of league at that level?
I would say now the League One's more competitive now than it's ever been, because the fact there's more full-time clubs in it, and they've had the taste of being in the championship, so they want to do everything they can to get back in. So, I would say, full-time clubs attract better players, because some players obviously they just want to stay full-time. But I think, this season this will be probably tougher than last season, I would probably say.
So for, I think, the third time in Alloa's history, I think you mentioned at the start, Kevin, that we're going to have a testimonial as the first game of pre-season. Are you looking forward to the day, I suppose, is the first question to ask?
Yeah, definitely. Get to see all the old players that I've played by, my old mates, because it's rarely you get to catch up with them. So you actually do it on the pitch. It'll be good just to see everybody and see who's put on the weight and see who's still got it. But I'm sure it'll be a good occasion and first kind of pre-season game as well. So I'd come back my holidays, so my first kind of involvement, so I might be a bit rusty on the Saturday, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's funny when we've been kind of going through and getting the squad organised, the stories that have been coming in, so I'm sure there'll be plenty to catch up on, although I don't know how much of a pre-season challenge it's going to be for a team competing at the top end of League One. I'll quickly run through the squad just as a brief note, and if you can maybe pick one or two names that you're excited to go up against again. So we've got McDee coming back in goals, we've got Sparky, Cal Waters, Frank McEwen, Jason Marr, Goody's coming back, going up the pitch, Eddie Ferns, Darren Young, Adam Brown, both the McCord brothers, Homer, Pat Scullion, Buchanan, Spence, Robbie Winters might throw in a wee cameo as well. It's a real kind of variety of players. Is there any in particular that are jumping out that you fancy a wee go against?
Probably Sparky. put him in his place. That's it.
Yeah, I think Sparky always talks about how he just lays the chances on a plate for you. So will you not be struggling with him on the other side of the pitch? Oh,
definitely not. I think he would be funny story. I think he might have been at, I don't know if it was fourth or I can't remember. And I was going up against him, and I was just trying to nutmeg him the full game, and he was just like, after the game, what are you doing trying to nutmeg me, but you're actually playing it? But Sparky, what a guy he is. Homer, I've not seen Homer in a while, but good against playing up against him. And the McCaw brothers, I think I've seen them for a long time. So same with Robbie Winters. Robbie must be about 45 and he's still playing. Fit as a fiddle, Robbie. Good to get a good catch up with all the guys.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because there's a couple in that squad as well that we'll be coming up against a little bit sooner rather than later. Obviously, we've got the Stirling Albion derby back. You've got Daz Young and Spency coming back into the Alloa Legends team. So it'll be an interesting before the season kick starts as well.
I know. I wonder if they'll get a few boos.
It'll be a good day, Saturday the 24th of June, 3 o'clock kickoff. I think by the time this episode's up, the tickets will be up online. I'm not sure if you've seen the wee pin badges as well, Kev, but they'll be up online for supporters to watch. I've got a couple held back for you, so I can drop those around. That's one for the grandkids.
Perfect, aye. I seen them on Twitter. We got a good picture of me celebrating. I'll get a few of them. I think a few of my mates are wanting some of them as well.
Perfect. Just to finish off, a couple of questions that, you know, the classic ones that come in from the supporters, but good ones all the same. We've gone through, well, I think that's 12 years of our 12 seasons of Alloa. What if you could pin one moment or one game? That might be hard to do, but what is the favourite?
I think obviously winning the league. On that day, I think we won the league. Did we win maybe 9-0 or something against somebody? Was that
8-1 against Stirling?
Yeah, getting the league that. I think we got the league that day. That's probably first bit of silverware as a player. Do you know what I mean? That was brilliant. Obviously, the 3-0 game against the playoffs against Dunfermline. That was a good moment. There's so many ones. I'd have liked to see if we won the petrol fact. Like, that would have been probably the highlight if we did. But even getting to the final was an achievement. But probably all the highlights would have been the games, like the playoff games where we've went up or we've stayed up. That's probably most of the kind of moments and memories that I've had at Alloa. And also like the players that I've played with over the years and the changing rooms and the camaraderie that you have, everybody. I think that's why a lot of players have always stayed at Alloa. It's such a good club and everybody chips in and it's a community club. And as I said earlier on, it's everybody behind the scenes that kind of make Alloa the club that they are.
Yeah, you might have just touched upon the answer to the next question, but Douglas Reid says, what is the best thing about playing for Alloa? You've said community club and people quite a lot of times during this episode. Would that be it?
I would say so, yeah. Everybody at the club's always going in the one direction and they want you to succeed. And when you do get that achievement and then seeing the faces at the end, and that's probably the best bit about it. I would say Alloa, for personally, they've kind of taken me in as one of their own, and I've always been kind of grateful for that. And the fans, I mean, Alloa's not like the biggest supporting club in the league or in the country, but it's your diehard fans that always turn up, and it's a kind of credit to them and a kind of thanks to them as well.
What's been, okay, I'm just going to jump in there and ask, what's been, has there been any real low points in your Alloa career? You know, I suppose you could say what any kind of regrets over your career, you know, what's been the toughest moments to take?
Obviously the relegation one wasn't a nice one. probably leaving the way that I did as well. Probably I could have probably dealt it a wee bit better. But yeah, I think the relegation, nobody likes to get relegated. But I think over like 11 years, 12 years that I've been there, like, it's always been success. There's never been really a lot of low points, maybe a few, as I said, the cup final. Obviously, managers losing their jobs as well, it's not nice, because it's not just them, it's down to you as well as players. But overall, most of the managers that have been there, we've kind of had a good relation with them, and they've always done well and succeeded, so, which is good. There's more highs and lows at Alava, I would say.
Yeah, it's been a super successful time. You've kind of painted everybody in a good light and a good picture, but one of the questions that came in from Willie Neal gives you an opportunity to throw someone under the bus, and it is it could be from this dressing room or it can be from a previous one. Who's the, you know, the worst, who's got the worst clobber, the worst dress sense?
Probably Spenny. Aye, he always used to turn up with these trainers that it looked as if his dog chewed them. Sparky as well, he always used to wear these stupid sandals. I think he just done it just to get a laugh out of everybody. But I think the style's changed over the years. As I might have been one of the ones, and that now I'm older, you get to see the younger ones. I'm like, what are you wearing? We didn't wear that back in the day, but times change, and just need to adapt it. But the younger ones, they can wear all the kind of the clobber or the gear that they say. I would say Quinny Coulson, he's one for watching for
I've heard
his outfits. He's one for watching.
Last couple of questions from, I think one's a pal of yours and then one's also John Robertson. So there might be some backstory to this because it's very specific. But Robbo asks, how do you like your pizza? And your pal Conor McDevitt says, a pint of Amstel or a pint of Innocent Gun. So I suppose we're on final meal sort of territory here.
The pizza one, so would have been, I think we were in Newcastle. I can't remember, it was a Christmas night out. And at the end of the night, we were obviously wanting some food and pizzas, and we're waiting in the queue, and I just seen the pizza called the Sizzler, and now Big Sam just calls me the Sizzler now. He's like, the Sizzler, the Sizzler, Kev the Sizzler. So that's probably the reason why Rob was asked that question. My mate Connor, so pint, my local's called the Old Smithy, so they only had, everybody drinks Tennent's, and I always just, don't know, I just got a pint of Amstel, and everybody always like, why do you just drink a pint of Amstel? And then I was just, because I'm not, at least, and then I says, I'm still standing at the end of the day. And then Missing Gun, I just drink random beers, whereas they're like, they'll just drink Tennent's. So I would say a pint of Amstel.
What's you obviously scored over 70 goals for Alloa. Is you've talked there about particular moments that stood out. Is there a couple of goals in particular that you think back and think, yeah, that was pretty special?
I like the one at Morton. I think it was at the 4-each game. I think
the Cruyff turn and then top corner.
I've had a few at Alloa. There was a few against Dumbarton, maybe Falkirk. It was on BBC Alba. I think they ended up getting beat 3-1. But yeah, when I do say, like, I have scored a few screamers maybe, but it's like maybe two or three a season, that's all really. But I would say the Morton one probably sticks more in my memory.
Ah, you've got some highlight reel.
I know, I've seen a few of the highlight reel he's created on Twitter, and then I forgot I actually scored that goal. there's probably a few more that I've probably don't remember. There's probably people that do recall some of them. But yeah, I'm getting older, like, my memory's getting worse, but some of the ones that you do, that Morton one in particular, I still remember that one.
You mentioned before about, you know, some of the best players you've played with at Alloa, and mentioned the likes of Ian Flanagan and things like that. I'm thinking from an opposition point of view, who's the best, you know, is there a best player you've came up against or the toughest opponent you've faced?
Probably is, but I just, when I was younger, there was a good few players that Celtic you play against, like youth ones that have kind of went on it done well. Wijnaldum, he was a great player. And we played a tournament against Aston Villa. Barry Bannon, he was really good to play against. There's probably plenty more that I just can't recall. But yeah, I've always said in the lower leagues, there's always good players that are probably could play at a higher level. But yeah, there's not really many. I can, there probably is, but I just can't remember their names probably.
Here's me waiting for some kind of lower league Scottish football stalwart or something. Gigi Wijnaldum is what he come out with. That's not a bad one. I would suggest. What kind of things do you do away from the game, Kev? You know what? How do you kind of relax and things like that?
Probably just chill out, watch TV and
The Sopranos.
I'll need to finish it. I kind of keep myself. I don't really go out as much, but yeah, go to the gym, chill out, really. I'm not really for doing much.
And you're signed up for season 23-24. How much is left in the tank? How much have the legs got left in them?
Wait and see. Be 35 this time next year, so see how things go. But If Big Andy can play at 40, then I'm sure I could still squeeze a few more seasons out. But yeah, I'll take this season first and then see how it goes. And that's it, really. Aye, so I'm sure there's still... The hips are getting a wee bit rusty now, so I need to get the WD-40 out for that. But I think I'll look after myself, so if I keep looking after myself, I'm sure I should be fine.
Well, I think we'll call it a day there then, Kevin. I've got to say, you know, thank you so much for obviously jumping on the podcast and joining us and letting us kind of go through what's been an incredible career so far within Aloe. And as you kind of touched on at the end there, hopefully there's still a fair bit to go. As I said before, we've also got a testimonial match is coming up on the 24th of June with a 3 o'clock kickoff. So it's going to be the current Aloe team against Kevin Colley's Aloe Legends. But as I say, just to finish off, Kevin, thank you so much. And I think from both of us, obviously, best of luck with the testimonial match and the season ahead as well.
No, thanks, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having us on. I'm sure I'll see you next season at some point.